Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship on this special World Communion Sunday. We are glad to have all of you with us. A special welcome to our visitors and guests. We're glad you're here and hope you feel welcome. Now, at this time, I'd encourage you to look in the seat rack in front of you. We have Let's Get Acquainted cards there for you to give the chance to ask questions of us and us to get the chance to know you better. Members and visitors alike, I'd encourage to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign them and pass them to your neighbor, and especially greet any new faces by name during the peace or after worship. We have announcements near the inside cover of your bulletin, and I'll highlight a couple before opening it up to any of you who have announcements to share with the church. We have our first Wednesday fellowship dinner this Wednesday, so please do try to RSVP by the office tomorrow morning if you'd like to attend. Come share food and fellowship, and after dinner we'll have a musical program by Trent, our director of music, so we're excited for that as well. There's still the opportunity to get tickets for the Jericho Brass Concert benefiting the Deo Clinic here next Sunday. Tickets are free for our church. I think we want to get as many people here as possible, so contact the office if you're interested. And there are always opportunities to usher and welcome the community as we try to support this important mission in the Deo Clinic. Now, for any of you who have announcements, I'd invite you to stand and share with the church. There are also opportunities for mission on Tuesday morning to read with the elementary students at Blue Ridge, and our missions team meeting is tomorrow evening for those of you who expressed interest after all the activities were announced last week. So it's with great joy that we gather together and celebrate what God is doing in our midst. So with that joy, let us worship God, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbor. Peace, John. How are you?
Good.
Good. Nice to see you. Oh. Peace, Jody. How are you? Good to see you. Peace, Greg. How are you? Peace, Ben. Good to see you. Peace, Karen.
Peace of Christ.
Peace, Walter. Good
and
to see
with you.
You.
Glad you're home.
Yeah, good to be back. Peace, Nancy. Good to see you.
Please stand for the call to worship. From across the world, across the ages, God invites us to the table. We come as individuals, divided from one another, hungry for something more. God provides a place at the table and friends to share the bread. We will worship this God together, the God who makes us one. And let us pray. God of creation, we come to your table bound by time and place, yet connected to your people throughout the world. Widen our vision, Lord, beyond our own culture, beyond our own language, beyond our own tradition, beyond our own belief. Give us the fullness of your grace to know you as Lord of all creation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And now together. God of all people, you created a good world and filled it with us, your children. In Jesus Christ, you prayed to make us one. You poured your Holy Spirit on a diverse group of disciples and blessed the humanity we share with your Son. Yet we have neglected your gifts and turned from your way. We do not recognize the humanity we share. We look out for ourselves. We do not always consider how the way we live affects others, especially throughout your creation. Have mercy on us, Lord. In your grace and forgiveness, reconcile us with our neighbors and gather us around your table to share in common life in the promise you intend. We pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. Come on down. It's good to see you all. How are you this morning? Good. Today's one of my favorite Sundays of the year, and we're doing something special. What's a little bit different about this Sunday, do you see?
We have instruments up there.
Yeah, we have a different instrument up there. Do you know what it's called? Do you know what it's called? It's like a drum. It's called a marimba. Can you say that? So it's from a different country, and today we're celebrating lots of different people from different countries who gather around God's table. You can look at it from a distance, from down here. But right now, I want us to go over to the communion table. You know, we take communion every month. Can you come over here with me? I want to show you something. Can you stand all around? And we won't touch anything here, too, but we can look. So how many people do you think we could get around this table? Don't worry, they're not touching it. Okay, let's go back down this way. All right. I think we all fit around this table, don't you? Yeah. How many of us do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So that's a few of us. Do you think we could get all these other people and gather around that table?
Yeah.
You think so? That's good. We'd have to make a pretty big circle. But that's kind of what it's like to have communion, because when we share this meal together, we say it's just like we're eating at God's house, and all of us together are around a table, like in your kitchen or your dining room. But today is special because we recognize today, especially, that we share this meal with people all over the world in faraway places, even in countries that have things like marimbas. Isn't that neat? So we call it World Communion Sunday, because today we recognize that the meal we share, that God's love for us, is something we share with people all over the world. So I hope you can remember that as you take communion later and maybe talk about communion in your time together upstairs. Thank you for sharing. Will you have a prayer with me before we go upstairs? Let's pray together. Can we put our hands together? You can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for this meal and for people to share it with. Help us to be connected to people all over your world and to love them as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians. Listen for God's word. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Too long, too long.
Our next scripture reading this morning continues the story we've been following in the book of Exodus of Israel's journey through the wilderness into freedom. Last week we heard about how they were hungry and God rained down manna from heaven to feed them. This week they're thirsty and God provides water. From the book of Exodus chapter 17, listen for God's word to you. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we're here because we hunger and thirst for something, but we don't always know what. When will you appear to us? Be near to us in your word and water our souls by your spirit to quench us with your grace and love. We pray through Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's not controversial to say that the world is a work in progress. You can just look at the news. And it's not controversial to say that people are a work in progress either. You can just look at Facebook. We are not always on top of things, fully present in our relationships, fully absorbed in meaningful work, giving and charitable, and possessing the correct political opinions. We all need work. Some of us have major problems like illness or broken relationships or doubt or fear. Maybe some of us feel like our lives lack direction or meaning. All of us could use some work, which means the absence of that missing thing can be a big part about how we understand ourselves. So whether we're lacking a little or lacking a lot, we all want something more. The one thing we can all use more of, whether we recognize it or not, is the presence of God. That's why we're here, right? In God is our vocation, our true calling to meaningful and important work. In God is our relationship containing the perfect completion and all the love we share in our relationships. In God is our direction, guiding us in the way we're meant to go in life. In God is our healing, the end of our sufferings, mental and physical. God is our beginning and our end and all our way in between. God is infinite and beyond comprehension, which means that metaphorically, Scripture often depicts God as our relationship with God as thirsty people looking for an inexhaustible source of water. We all have needs, and God is the exact answer to all of those needs. This is true throughout Scripture. As the deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. That's the Psalms. So here's another one. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Psalms again. That's 42 and 63 if you're interested. And there's more in the Psalms, more in Isaiah and the prophets. We are people who thirst for God as if in a dry and weary land. It's a good metaphor. We all know what it's like to thirst. It's also a direct allusion to the experience of the people of Israel in the wilderness. The people were wandering. God had led them out into the desert. The people asked for water, and they received, but really what they were thirsty for was God. Since we've read the Exodus story from the beginning, more or less, we know how things have unfolded. The people ask for help, and God responds. First, the people groaned under the weight of slavery, and then God sent Moses to deliver them. Next, the people were afraid by the shores of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army had confronted them against the edge of the water, and then God cleared a road through the water. Last week, we heard about hunger. The people were in the wilderness without food and complained, and God rained bread from heaven. Now they're thirsty. People are in a dry land, and they quarrel with Moses. Give us a drink. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with hunger, with thirst? But now it's Moses who has a problem. He complains to God. What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to kill me. God reassures him. Go to the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink. And Moses goes and does just that with all the elders. The people, we assume, drink and are satisfied. The people of Israel test God over and over again. The only thing that's seemingly inexhaustible are their needs and their complaints. But we can't judge them too much. We can't judge Israel, because if we were in their shoes, we would want exactly what they do. Freedom, safety, food, water. If any of these things were taken from us, it would be as if the world itself had failed. And wouldn't we ask God about it too? Wouldn't we test God? Haven't we asked God for much less? So in every case, God obliges the needs of the people. We heard God's motivation for that last week too. You shall know that I am the Lord your God. So God doesn't help people so they can get exactly what they want all the time. God helps the people so that they will know that they are God's people. And it is only by depending on, relying on, following God that they will find their way through the wilderness. So of course, Israel forgets this lesson over and over again, and God reminds them, and that happens throughout Scripture. And I think it's why Scripture continues to return to this scene. Psalm 78, he split open the rock in the wilderness and gave them to drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams out of the rock and caused water to flow down like rivers. The Apostle Paul picks up on just this story too, the Exodus. It's the central story of God's people. But he ends up in a new place. He says, I don't want you to be unaware that our ancestors were all under the cloud and passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yes, the people are in the wilderness. Yes, they are thirsty, but they are thirsty for God. And the purpose of all of their needs, of all the things they wanted, was so that they would learn their reliance on God. So there is an answer to that inexhaustible need or that problem that won't go away. It could be a trying friendship or a chronic illness or a frustrating coworker, or anything that uncovers that deep anxiety that gnaws at your soul. God is nothing less than the deepest desire of your heart, and God wants nothing but for you to find Him. C.S. Lewis said that all thirst was made for water. That thirst doesn't go away in the Old Testament. Jesus himself picks up on the image. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Sermon on the Mount, the fulfillment of God's promise to thirsty people. There are a couple of stories in John. Jesus is at a festival and he stands there and preaches to the crowd, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink, as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." How much clearer can it get? People are thirsty and God is where they drink. So one of the most remarkable stories in the Gospel of John recounts a time when Jesus met a Samaritan woman at a well as she was there to draw water. The woman comes and Jesus sees her and says, "Will you give me a drink from the well?" His disciples are gone. He's sitting there by himself. And the woman's amazed. She's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. He's a man. She's a woman. They're two people who would not get along. They wouldn't speak to each other. But Jesus asks this. He says, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman says, "You don't have a bucket to draw water and the well is deep. Where do you get this water? Are you greater than Jacob, our ancestor, and all the people who drank from this well?" Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water I will give them will become a spring gushing up to eternal life." And she says, "Give me this water that I may never have to return here and keep drawing water." So what does Israel want? Freedom, safety, food, water. So how many of us have all of those things in abundance and are still thirsting for something more? We still have problems. We still have things we need: love, work, community, meaning. We are always thirsty for something more. We need the living water. We need the water that springs up so that we never grow dry. And God knows this about us. This is why Jesus picks up the metaphor and uses it so often. God is concerned with Israel's thirst, not just because they're suffering some kind of physical danger or deprivation in the wilderness. God is trying to teach Israel how to look for God, how to look for the one place, the one person where they can get exactly what they need. The rock was Christ. The only end of our restlessness, our wandering, our thirsty souls is in God. My heart will not find rest until it finds rest in Thee. So where does it all end up? The people drink, they're thirsty again, they drink some more. This is the entire scriptures. Israel complains, they get something from God, they forget about God, they complain again. It goes to the very last page. What's the entire trajectory of scripture that tells God's rescuing God's people? God's story with Israel and the church ends up in Revelation, in the very last book of the Bible, and it shows people worshiping before the throne of God. And this is how John describes it. That the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more. They will thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. That's it. That's the entire scripture. That's the entire human story, longing, looking for fulfillment. And sometimes we don't know where to look, sometimes we forget, sometimes we complain. But as disciples of Jesus, we confess that this is it. Jesus is the source of life. John, at the end, promises that this water is for all people. All those people who are stretched far and wide, hungering and thirsting for something, and gathering around God's table today on World Communion Sunday. John says that the angel showed him a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side, the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. All people are thirsty. All find what they are looking for in Jesus Christ. That's it. It's the source of all we need. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of our affirmation faith from the Confession of Belhar. We believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gathers, protects, and cares for the Church through Word and Spirit. This God has done since the beginning of the world and will do to the end. We believe in one holy, universal Christian Church, the communion of saints called from the entire human family. We believe that God has entrusted the Church with a message of reconciliation in and through Jesus Christ, that the Church is called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that the Church is called to be blessed because it is a peacemaker, and that the Church is witness both by word and by deed to a new heaven and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, that God's life-giving Word and Spirit has conquered the powers of sin and death, and therefore also of irreconciliation and hatred, bitterness and enmity, that God's life-giving Word and Spirit will enable the Church to live in a new obedience which can open new possibilities of life for society and the world. Amen. You may be seated. In gratitude for all that we have received, let us return to God our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As the gospel tells it, they shall come from east and from west and from north and from south to sit at table in God's kingdom. Wherever we are from, wherever we have been, God calls us here to quench that thirst that will not go away and here meet our life in the promise of Jesus Christ. So come all who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God invites you to this table. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks, God of creation. From the beginning of all things, you made a world and filled it with your children. When people turned aside from you, you called prophets to lead them back in your way. You led Abraham, the father of nations, into your friendship. You led the children of Jacob out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land of covenant love. You created a people, Israel, so that all the nations of the world would be blessed through them. For so great a love, for so great a promise, we join our voices with brothers and sisters gathered around your table throughout the world and gathered around your throne in heaven above, who sing to the glory of your name. Blessed are you, holy God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, who in the fullness of time took on flesh, a light to the nations, good news to all people. Through his birth and life, his death and resurrection, through his reign on high, we confess him Lord of your creation and all your people. We thank you for the gift of his Spirit, who calls us into this community, who unites us in Christ's body, the church, who gathers us to this table to show us life of the life in Christ our Lord. Remembering your great and loving kindness, we take this bread and wine from the gifts you have given us, and we celebrate with joy the hope that all people share in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Accept our sacrifice of prayer and thanksgiving, especially on behalf of those who have no bread to share, or those who throughout the world are strangers to your covenant love. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Teach us to give as it has been given to us, to love as you have loved us, and to recognize the humanity we share with all our brothers and sisters, the humanity we share with Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray in his holy name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God." Let us pray together. Gracious and holy God, your people sing your praise throughout creation. And for your many good gifts, we thank you, especially for the gift of your Son and your Spirit, for your Son's life in which we join in this meal, and for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for your church you have knit together across the world. We pray that fed by this grace, we would go out remade as your disciples, as people who bear your image to the world and participate in the healing and reconciliation of all humanity. These and all our prayers we offer through Christ our Lord, and we pray in the way that he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go and thirst no more, but find the source of all your life and healing in Christ Jesus. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.